5 things millionaires do. Get the 5 a.m. club. I couldn't think of anything worse. I'm not part of the 5 a.m. club, never will be, right? And if you think about it, like, there are all of these rules, and then you have someone who, by definition, biologically, psychologically, is unique, and then you have these rules, these guidelines that someone says, this is what you need to do to be successful. They follow the exact things, and they're just like, well, great. Why isn't it happening? And so...
Welcome to Summer for C Experience. In this show, we'll be covering everything a new entrepreneur needs to know to set up their business and how you can grow and scale your business in the shortest possible time. If you have a question in mind, go to salmonforc.co/ask and submit your question. We might answer it in the next episode. Let's begin our today's episode. Today, our guest is Adina Cole. Did I pronounce it right?
You did, yes. Thank you.
Adina is an international business coach, sales expert, and speaker for female CEOs. She has spent over 7 years in IT sales and learned what not to do, and now teaches her clients how to sell effortlessly and create financial freedom. Today, we're going to talk about human design and how to use this to make business work on your terms. This is the part one. In the next part, we'll discover more about human design. Let's continue with our today's episode.
Okay, for a listener who don't know about you, tell me about yourself. How did you start it? Well, basically, your story.
So, the story of how I started is very much, I didn't quite know what I wanted to do with my life. I was 19, I just finished my A-levels in Germany, and suddenly you're like, okay, well, what do you study for the rest of your life? What do you do? And I didn't quite know. So I decided to escape the country and the scrutiny of my parents, because that was the only way I could kind of make it happen. And then I started just taking some odd jobs. I was doing waitressing, and I went into the world of IT sales. And as I was entering the world of IT sales, I started to get into contact with a lot of sales trainings on how selling could be done, because I was selling from big firms. And in these sales training, it has always been very uncomfortable for me, uncomfortable for a lot of women to be doing the selling. And I was always in awe of just like, okay, well, how come all men are just able to pick up the phone and just sell to their heart's content? What is the difference here? And so eventually, after around over 7 years, I realized that there is a slight difference between sales for men and women. And I've wanted to create my own business. And then that kind of bled into what I'm doing right now.
You said you are uncomfortable, right? Why you are uncomfortable?
So in traditional sales, it is very aggressive. The way that we've been taught to sell in the big corporations was very much like, no means yes. Always be selling. Always make sure that you get on the phone with someone. We had a list that we needed to dial of 100 contacts a day, and it was very much a numbers game. It was very much a game that it was very much like, look, unless you're making money, you're not doing it right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What is human design?
Human design, in a nutshell, is a modality, a tool that combines the Kabbalah, the I Ching, astrology, and the chakra system together to basically, in a nutshell, helps you see what your energetic blueprint is.
Can you define it more?
Yes, sure. So think about it this way. You come into this world and just like your biological DNA, everything about you is very different and unique, not so much different, but it's very unique. And the way you move about this world, not just on a biological level, is also very unique, right? So on an energetic level, we have these words, and whether or not you are a spiritual person or you're not a spiritual person, almost doesn't matter. But we can all agree that when we enter into a room, we can sometimes hear ourselves saying like, oh, there is a tension in the room, or you can feel that people are happy. You don't know if they're happy. You just feel that people are happy, or feel if people are tense, right? And so what happens with human design is that it's not here to necessarily tell you what you like, what job you're going to take, what, you know, who you're going to marry, et cetera. But what it does do is it looks at your particular energetic blueprint and how you are best designed to move through the world. So let's say, for instance, you have always wondered why you can talk in a big crowd, but no one seems to hear you. Right, that is something that that some people are actually talking about. And I'm just like, oh, I feel like I'm in a crowd, and no one seems to hear me. And it's just like, well, why is it? And why is it that this other person walks into a room and immediately has the attention? Like, why is that? And that is something to do with the energetic blueprint. And what human design teaches us as the tool, and which is why I love using it for sales and business in general, is we can use our energetic blueprint to help us not only make sales easier, but also make it so much easier to be magnetic to what it is that we want to be doing, right? So when we talk about like the example that I just gave, like let's say you are someone who is talking, and no matter how much you talk, how loud you talk, people just seem to talk over you. They sometimes steal your ideas. It's just like, why is this happening to me, but not to this other person next to me? Then human design can give us a real good insight of how you can navigate this energy and actually take your power back so that you can empower yourself so that A, that doesn't happen, but B, you can then start commanding your authority instead of demanding it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So how do you use human design?
How do you use it? Well, it all starts with the birth chart. When you know your time of birth and your place of birth, that is kind of what needs to happen, because your energetic blueprint is created the moment you were born and up to approximately 88 days before the time you come onto the world. That is where your body, your personality has been created. And what human design does and the way that you use it is you look at your particular human design. So what you then do is you get a body graph based on the time that you were born, and you have specific types. And at the moment in human design, we have 5 different types. We've got a projector. You don't need to know what they do just now. Okay. Just know that there are types. There are projectors, reflectors, manifestors, generators, and manifesting generators. And so with these different types, it goes really, really deep, because the types are basically the tip of the iceberg. You then look at, okay, well, what is your profile? If you think about it, what the human design chart makes up in, are you familiar with astrology?
Sorry?
Are you familiar with astrology, even if you're not into it?
Not that much.
Not that much. So if you think about it, you don't have to know it. Astrology, you know, there are 12 zodiac signs, right? Taurus, Aries, Sagittarius.
I've heard that, but I'm never get interested about that.
You don't need to be into it, right? Now, there is 12 pieces. So the moment you're born, the sun is at a particular moment in the sky. That makes you either an Aries, Taurus, or whatever, right? With human design, there are 64 gates. And these gates can be based on your design, conscious and unconscious. So what then happens is, based on where the planets were at the time that you were born, they create an energetic blueprint. And so it's a very broad question to answer when you say, how do you use human design for business? First of all, we have to understand, what is human design? And human design is a tool that we use to understand how you as a person are designed to go through in this world. And for a lot of the people that I speak to, and for a lot of the people that start getting into human design, it's a very big aha moment, because they then start to realize that, oh my God, I'm not broken. And especially when we look into the world of business, when we see a lot of people, especially startups, there are a lot of people out there who say, here's this five things that you need to be doing, five things millionaires, right? Like, we've all written books.
Yeah.
Right? The five things millionaires do, get the 5 a.m. club. I couldn't think of anything worse. I'm not part of a 5 a.m. club, never will be, right? And if you think about it, like, there are all of these rules, and then you have someone who, by definition, biologically, psychologically, is unique. And then you have these rules, these guidelines that someone says, this is what you need to do to be successful. They follow the exact things and they're just like, well, great. Why isn't it happening? And so for me, you can obviously use other modalities, but I find human design works very well with what I do because I understand it and because it helped me understand, okay, actually, I'm not broken. It's not that I'm not meant to do business. It's just that I'm meant to do business a little bit differently. And when you understand your particular energetic blueprint, if you will, then you can sort of be like, ah, okay, now I understand why people react to me this way. Now I understand why leads come to me in this way. Now I understand how I can make sales easier. This is right. So then we can sort of navigate this a little bit more.
Okay. How do you use this in sales?
How do you use it in sales? In an ideal world, you would absolutely look at a particular person's body graph. But let's say, for instance, you only know your type, right? And let's say, for instance, you only know your type, then you can look at something. For instance, if someone is, let's say, a manifesting generator, and the majority of the entire world population are generator types. And the reason why they're called generator types, again, you don't necessarily need to understand this, is because they have a defined sacral. The defined sacral is here for workforce, for life energy, for vitality. All the other types don't necessarily have that. So our generator types are literally here to become the masters. But because they're the majority of the people, because they're here to master one thing, the thing that they choose that they want to master, to become the elite, to become the absolute best, what can happen for someone like who is a manifesting generator type, for instance, manifesting generators are here to like basically show us shortcuts. They're the people who are multi-passionate. They're the ones who have 50,000 tabs open on your internet browser. They're the people who start one project and then they're just like, oh my God, but I also want to save the dolphins. Oh, but I also want to do a fundraiser. Oh, but I also want, right? Like the multi-passionate. Have you ever experienced that?
Yeah, I have.
Right? So it's very likely that if you have ever experienced that, you're very likely a manifesting generator type. And the world has told you to stick with one thing, right? Manifesting generators are very unfairly labeled as being fickle, as being scatterbrained. And if you're being told that your entire life, but you're a manifesting generator, how will that make you feel? Constricted, right?
Yeah.
And what if it's actually your superpower? Because as a manifesting generator, it is healthy and correct for you if you were one, right? It'd be really cool to find out what your chart is so we could actually draw some comparisons. But if you were a manifesting generator, then it is not only correct for you, but this is what you're here to bring into the world. Now, just armed with that knowledge in and of itself is quite empowering a lot of the time. But then we would go deeper. If that is who you were, if let's continue with the manifesting generator. Let's say you are a manifesting generator and now you know that it is actually right for you to be doing multiple things at once, right? So if you have an idea and you want to launch three things at once, go and do it, right? If you have the energy to do it, that is in fact the correct thing for you to do. For all the other types, not so much, right? But for you, it would actually be the correct thing to do. What does this do? It probably empowers you. It makes you feel happier about the work that you're doing. That then creates a lot more confidence. Then we would potentially go deeper. Let's say we go into your profile, right? Again, you don't necessarily need to know what it is, but then we would go into your profile and then suddenly your profile ends up giving you information of basically the role in which you are playing this character of your energetic blueprint. And then all of a sudden, let's say you have a 5 line in your profile, which might mean that people will project a lot onto you, right? So they see you as the savior. They see you as the person who can solve all of their problems. And a person with a 5 in their profile is generally someone who needs to have really, really strict boundaries because they just want to help everyone, right? They want to help everyone. But when they start having really strict boundaries, that's when they can have the greatest impact and really positively influence people. When we tie this into sales, sales looks very different from what is traditionally taught to us. Then it's not a question of you go out and throw spaghetti at a wall and dial a list of 100 Excel contacts. Then it becomes a matter of, well, first of all, what is a lot of the time preached to us by authority figures within the industry, right? To be your authentic self and to market in a way that is true to yourself. Yeah, but what does that look like? What does true authenticity look like? Everyone's talking about it, but if we don't know what it's like to be authentic because some authority figure is telling us, here are the 5 steps you need to take, what's authentic about that?
Yeah.
Right? And what actually makes sales a lot easier for men and women is when we understand where are we? And a lot of the time, traditional sales is telling us, yeah, but the customer is king. That's not quite true. Because if the customer is king, they wouldn't need our help.
Absolutely. So I'm interested, how can I find my human design?
So you can literally Google it, human design. To create the charts are free.
I've seen the charts and I didn't understand anything.
You didn't understand. Do you know what your type is?
No.
No?
No.
So if you've ever drawn your chart, and I don't know if you wanted to do this right now, but if you've ever drawn your chart, you basically go to, I like using a company called Jovian Archives, right? It's generally the first one that comes up when you go for human design. You can also use mybodygraph.com. And what you need is your time of birth, your place of birth, your date of birth. And then it takes just a few seconds to draw up.
I will look that later. I'm interested about it. So What are the challenges women entrepreneurs face while running and marketing themselves? Marketing their business, actually.
For a lot of women, it's... Yeah. And again, men have a very different set of issues. But for women, as far as sales and marketing is concerned, it's... the societal conditioning. What women have been traditionally praised for is to be humble, to be self-sacrificing. It's, you know, oh my God, she's so selfless. She's so humble. And then you go into a world of traditional sales, right? Where you are being told to just go out and make it happen. And that clashes with being humble. Ask for money and be humble. They do not go together. And so you suddenly have a woman, and again, men have a very different set of problems because men are being told to man up and grow a pair and boss up, right? And it's almost like it's these traditional societal conditionings. It's just like that really clash with making money because there you have a woman who's trying to start a business or create a business or scale her business. And she obviously identifies with, well, I want to be humble. I want to help people. A lot of women in business will start saying things like, well, if I could do this for free, I would do this for free. And that's where you start having the issue. And so with societal conditioning, because there's always some form of, let me retrace. Since all of us are growing up, we are taught that we need to trust into an authority figure, that there's always someone outside of us who knows about us better than we do. This is true for everyone, men and women. Our parents, teachers, governments, etc. But who knows us better than we do? And then you suddenly have someone who's just like, here's a 5-step formula. Here's this thing. In order to be successful, you need to get up at 5 a.m. But in order to be successful, you also need to be humble, or you need to boss up, or you need to be a leader, or you need to be this. And this always comes from the outside. But what is actually true for you on the inside? And so when we then look at marketing ourselves, for women in particular, you then have the issue of them wanting to be humble, But marketing yourself means you actually have to talk about your business. You actually have to make offers.
Obviously.
Right? You don't make offers, you're not going to make any sales. But that doesn't feel humble, because for a lot of women, because of the societal conditioning, it then feels like bragging. And so that's like one of the things that women fall into the challenges of when it comes to marketing in the world.
What is the difference between men and women in sales culture?
Well, let me ask that with a counter question. What are the challenges that you face when you were trying to sell or were selling in the very beginning?
Sorry?
Let me ask a counter question.
Yes, yeah.
Because this is a really cool conversation to have. When you started selling,
yeah,
what were your challenges?
Can you define your question more?
You didn't have any challenges. You never struggled making money.
I had challenges. I didn't know what to do.
Right?
Yeah.
You didn't know what to do.
And when I started, I was young to my, actually, I was teen, actually. Mm-hmm. From the schooling, I was totally into business and this, especially sales-related part. At the beginning, I like to play video games. So the CDs,
yeah,
around a decade ago, that was my first sale. Then I was into cycling, everything I was into. I even vape. Whatever I do, I used to sell everything to the networks I have, or my first at my friends, then the people I know. That's why I started. So actually selling, I started from a very young age. And I get into business last year. So I had a few previous experiences. Actually, I'm learning and doing things. So, that's,
right?
Yeah.
So you're learning and doing things. So the selling for you wasn't necessarily the problem.
Yeah.
But did you ever feel pressure of, hey, I like this thing, I made some money, now I'm going to have to make it successful or I look bad? Or something along the lines of that?
I didn't have that previous and then. When I started the business, actually, I didn't start this company. I joined this. This was my originally my brother's company. So I basically manage the internal things. So sales, sometimes I look and sometimes I don't. So what do you say? I faced a lot of problems. I can't even remember that right now.
Fair enough, right?
Yeah.
And I understand that that's like, it is difficult to sometimes recall, yeah. But basically when it comes to the differences between men and women in selling, it's that the act of selling and going out to people for men isn't necessarily as problematic as it is for a lot of guys. But what it does do is men, in my experience, and again, I'm not speaking for all men, it's just from my experience with the ones I have worked, is they feel pressure to make something successful. And women feel the pressure of getting to the point of that success because both of them have their identity tied to it. Women feel like, well, I still need to be humble. I still need to be like, I need to be nice, but I also need to be making money, right? And then there are men who are just like, okay, well, I need to make a certain amount because that's the kind of pressure society puts on me, because otherwise I'm just not a good enough guy. And again, I'm not speaking for every guy out there, but we have two ends, like same coin, just different side. And so for a lot of women, sales is just difficult or challenging because they then feel like they're pushing themselves onto people, like they're being greedy. For guys, it's the opposite. They're like, okay, well, you know, let's see how we can make this the most profitable. Let's see how, like, there's a lot of pressure on the other end of the spectrum. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Why should you start selling? Actually, why should entrepreneur start with sales?
Well, Well, if you're not starting for sales, you're not making any money.
Actually, I mean, so why should you focus at the beginning in sales, actually?
Again, if you're not making sales, you don't have a business. Then it's a hobby.
Yeah.
And so you focus on sales to obviously start driving revenue so that you can use that money to grow and create more assets for your business.
Let me define the question more. So in the beginning, we are starting the business. So we have to make sales. So why should we start? Well, why should we focus to make sales?
The more money, and this again, this is just from my personal experience. When you start making money, not only does it give you the opportunity to resources back into your business, such as creating better branding, creating a more responsive website, hiring help for the tasks that you don't want to do. Again, for the manifestors, projectors, and manifesting generators out there, hiring help is an absolute must, right? Because manifesting generators, if they want to do all of the things, they need people down who can actually do the things and then do the work that is required to keep doing so they can keep following what lights them up, right? But aside from putting the resources in to focus on selling in the very beginning of a business, it's also something that creates a very empowering feeling and increases confidence. The more confidence you can then build, the better programs you have, right? It's all about experience. It's all about growth. It's all about scalability.
What is the most common mistake you have seen people make in terms of sales?
Focusing too much on what the right price is. Focusing too much on what the right price is. Focusing too much on whether or not they look or sound professional. So when they're on sales conversations, on a sales call, they would feel so pressured on how they looked and how they sounded and whether or not their price is going to turn people off or not, that they spend too much time focusing on that, that they don't actually take enough time listening to the client and what it is that they need. Because in my eyes, based on the work that I have done in the past and with my clients, the best sales are literally done when we focus on helping our prospects come to a decision that is in their best interest. But when we make it about ourselves, it tends to kind of go south.
What is the future of sales looks like to you?
What the future of sales looks like?
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it gets to a point where we sell without looking into people's wallets, where we sell without being like, hey, can they afford me? Can't they afford me? Should I be doing a discount? Should I not? And that it becomes a lot more of a pleasurable experience. Because when sales is done right, it feels very good and the price doesn't matter because the price is a very, very subjective thing.
You, in the PRP podcast, you have said you compare sales to sex.
I am.
Why?
It's one of my favorite topics. Why do I compare sex to sales? It's because in my eyes, sales is a mutual exchange of pleasure, right? I have something you want. You want something that I have to offer.
Yeah.
Let's go and make it happen. And the reason that I compare it to sex is because it's all about consent. It's all about permission. If you have two people who are going on a date and they agree to have sex with each other, well, then you know it's going to be a good night. And the same thing is true for sales. If you have two people who are like, hey, I really like what it is that you do. Cool. I really want to have what you have to offer. Let's go and make it happen. Then you have the consent. But in traditional sales, it's very much, I don't know, you've probably heard this. A lot of business books talk about it, that you have to take the alpha role, right? And that puts the client beneath you. Whereas, again, if we compare it to sex, it puts the client right on the same pedestal. No one is above, no one is below. And when we do sales from that end, it's easy. It gets to be so easy.
Yeah. What is the right money mindset?
I could ask you what the right food dish is, or what the perfect color is. There is no right money mindset. Because ultimately, and this isn't to catch you out, this is just, again, it depends what is correct for you.
How can I know what is correct for me?
What is an empowering money mindset would be a better question to ask. Is it empowering for you to think that money is available to you, that it is safe for you to have access? Is it empowering for you to start subscribing to the fact that your work is valuable and that people are very lucky to get to work with you? Now, who decides which one of these is right? And the beauty is that I very, very strongly believe that the world isn't as black and white as right or wrong. There is no such thing. It's just what is true for you. What is empowering to you? What feels good to you?
So how can I develop my money mindset?
First, start looking at what your current mindset around money is. Let's say you have someone who would like to create a business where they have 10 employees, right? But they're one person right now. And let's say their money mindset is, oh, Jesus, it's going to be so hard to get to a point where I can afford to pay 10 employees and make a profit, right? Their money mindset is work must be hard because money doesn't grow on trees because... Yes. You know, there is no cash cow, there is no golden goose, right? And we've all heard these things. Like, this is something that very often happened in my household. The thing that I heard the most is money doesn't grow on trees. Rich people are bad. To be rich means that you're greedy. To be rich means, I don't know if your family had this, but as soon as my family saw a Ferrari driving out the door, they would start rolling their eyes and they would be like, oh God, they have more money than sense. Right? And so you find out what the belief is that you currently hold. And again, this is where human design, for instance, can help, because depending on which centers in your chart are open or which lines and gates are defined, right? Like the whatever is colored in, whatever is white, gives you a really cool indication of how you can then overcome these mindsets or which ones you're more prone to do. And so once you know what the mindset is that you are currently holding, that's when you can actually start to make a choice, because ultimately a lot of the time when we look into business and the money mindset that we have, we're fighting in the dark. We don't take the time to actually look at what do I believe is true about money? What do I believe? Because logically we're like, well, yeah, of course I can make money. Of course I can be rich. But what goes on in the subconscious, in the primal brain, that is actually driving your actions, right? Because we've got three parts of the brain. We've got the neocortex, the limbic system, and the primal brain. The primal brain is the one that actually calls the shots, but we think that the newest part of our brain, we think that we're so logical as human beings. We think that we're so rational and that we make the logical choices, but it's not true. What is actually then happening is we're fighting in the dark. We don't take the time to look at what is actually going inside, because we don't want to look at the part that is currently driving us. And that's why like our ego is doing this, because it wants to keep us safe. Because even though it's uncomfortable, it's familiar. And whatever is familiar is safe. So that's the first thing. If you want to change your money mindset, if you want to go to a more empowering mindset, find out what you currently believe is true about money. And then you get to make a choice. What would you rather believe is true? And how can you find evidence that that is actually something that is possible? Because you can find evidence for both the good and the bad.
Yeah. So we are almost at the end. One question. This question I actually ask all of my interviews. So what is your advice for people who have just started their business?
How much time have you got? I think one of the biggest pieces of advice is give less fucks. There are so many times I remember when I started my business where I cared so much about looking the part, about sounding like there is no such thing as professional. Caring too much about whether or not people liked me, caring too much about not saying what I truly thought in favor of keeping that invisible person that I didn't know right for internet points. It's just like, fuck the internet points, honestly. Give less fucks. One of my favorite authors, Mark Manson, I don't know if you heard of him, but I can highly recommend him. The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck is probably one of the best startup books I can recommend.
Maybe I have that book, but I still didn't read the book.
Very good book, yeah. So my advice would be, give less fucks. Have some fun with your business. I think we take business a little bit too seriously.
Okay, so where can our listeners find you?
On my website. They can go and find me on adinakroll.com. I hang out a lot on Instagram, also at adinakroll, and on my Facebook page.
Okay, so that's how it's ended.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button. And if you're listening this on Apple Podcast, please leave a review. This will really help us to make our future episodes better. Have a question in mind? Go to sonofursi.co/ask and submit your question. We see every submission and we might answer it in the next episode. Thanks again for listening. We will see you on Tuesday and Thursday. Have a great week.